Jonathan, there was a conversation recently on Post Status. I don't know if you saw it, about plugin piracy.
Oh,
do you have any thoughts? How should we handle the piracy of our plugins when they're shared? Our premium code is shared on nulled sites and things like this.
I'm assuming we're talking about GPL,
based
plugins, right? Which brings up this interesting, like, what does it mean to pirate a GPL-based piece of software?
Yeah, well, you have this like huge, it's almost like a mini industry that's come up now of GPL sites that charge you for access to premium plugins, but they just sell them a lot cheaper, and they still contain a whole heap of malware inside them. In addition, so you're paying for the privilege of installing rubbish on your server. But it's some people finding it to be a real problem. And in this discussion on Post Status, I made the bold claim that we should not worry about piracy. In fact, the best way of combating piracy is by giving away our stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always been a bit strange to me, Luke. I feel like over the years I've had conversations with folks about licensing and GPL and it's like, I don't know how often, I think sometimes people come into the space to have and create a product and don't really like think through the ramifications of it, or even necessarily, and I don't mean this negatively, but even necessarily have an understanding, like maybe they might not have even read like the GPL license. Yeah. Like built right into it is this idea of redistribution being part of so I don't like the idea that there are sites out there that are charging to redistribute these things. But to me, to that point, one of the things I've admired that a few folks do is that they'll just link to the GPL version of their software. They won't like shout it from the rooftops, but it's like, if you just want, or not the version, it's all GPL, but if you just want a copy of it and don't want to pay for licensing, it'd be better to do that than get an old version of it, which can have modifications that that you're not aware of.
Yeah. So that's what I suggested in this Post Status Slack, and it didn't go down super well with a lot of people, although some people seem to appreciate it. Have a version of your premium plugin up on GitHub and let people access it that way. They're not going to get support. They're not going to get updates. If you distribute free and pro together, just make your is pro function well documented and really easy and not obfuscated. And that's how we've done it in the past. Anyway, that was just a little side interest. I did a little academic study or a review of the academic studies out there on piracy and things like that. Had a good bit of diversion with it the other day.
I've always struggled when I, like, to me, it's like if your business model is based on protecting access, like if the heart of your model is just predicated on whether or not someone has access to your code, that doesn't feel like a good model to me. Right. Like it's like that. So you can either have a service component to it where there's like an API or a server doing something else, which one of the things that annoys me is when people just try to push that in. It's like, this doesn't need a server to do this thing that it's doing. Right. But that's one of the way of justifying the ongoing cost. But in situations where it makes sense, that's a very viable approach that you can take. But if your software, if your business model is predicated on just whether or not someone has access, and you're just focused on protecting that access, I don't know. It doesn't feel like it has good long-term viability, because someone can just go in and purchase it once and then just redistribute it themselves, and they'd be well within the appropriateness of the GPL to do so.
Do you have any good, what's the right word, segues from here into the post that Mary Hubbard put up about big picture goals for 2026?
I don't know if I have a good segue, but we can certainly.
Do you have any bad ones?
Well, so one of the things I loved about Mary's post, because at first I just sort of scanned it, like, okay, there's some good highlights here, and I could go and read, you know, Ray did some great coverage on the repository. But then I went back through and actually like read it. And there's a couple of things I noticed. First, I love her emphasis on momentum, like, which is realistic to me. Like this idea that 2026 is about building momentum. We want to take what's already working, make refinements and improvements to it. But she's not coming in with this, like, we're going to do this big new thing here or this over there. And there are some new initiatives. There are new energies and efforts that are coming into it. But the overall focus is this idea of let's harness the energy that's already there and build on it. We had our perspectives episode with Jonathan DeRosier earlier this week. And when we recorded that, that was one of the things that had stood out to me there that on reading Mary's post, it's like that you have all this energy. You have all these folks that are using WordPress, but we're not necessarily harnessing it. Mm. And part of Mary's emphasis here is like, how do we do that more effectively? How do we build the momentum that we've got? And a big piece of that is getting, you know, making things easier for new contributors, which I was really happy to see.
Yes. Yeah. And another big piece of that, though, is artificial intelligence, in that that is where all the momentum seems to be. Not only in the WordPress project, of course, but everywhere we look, there's a lot of energy and excitement around AI. And I don't know, maybe we need to be a little careful about how we think about AI in WordPress. I'm not saying the AI team is for nothing, just that it might get unbalanced if we're only focused on what's exciting and where there is momentum. If that makes sense, like maybe we should also try to make a real effort in other areas where there isn't quite so much momentum.
Okay, so I thought Mary actually hit this really well. Under the AI section, she called out a few practical outcomes of the AI effort in WordPress. The first is this idea of help people create, edit, and refine content where they already work, right? Like this is this idea. It makes sense. Like practical tooling within WordPress, make that easier. The second was this idea of reducing friction in building in WordPress, like site build, common workflows, like lower the barrier of entry there. But the last two were the ones that I found most interesting and I think represent newer opportunities. First was this idea of supporting contributors themselves with clearer guidance, like context, next steps, and then lowering the barrier of entry to new contributors coming into the space, which to me is not something I would have expected, but makes a lot of sense in thinking back on it. It's like, sure, we're going to see some AI tool improvements in WordPress, but how can we actually use some of this technology to navigate all the, there's overwhelming amounts of input when you step into a big open source project. And for a new contributor, there could be some real wins.
So I have some criticisms with the caveat of course, being that it's very early days in both AI and in the implementation of AI within WordPress. So it's, I mean, and this post is, it's got some points to it, but it's also a little vague. So, that aside, I have said from the start, and still believe that it is not WordPress's job to help people create, edit, or refine content. I do not believe that we should have AI tools built into WordPress that integrate with the content people are writing. That, to me, is a bad idea.
Interesting. And is that based on the idea that WordPress should be focusing on just the publishing side of it versus the authoring, or...?
Okay, so it's based on a couple of things, and partially it's based on we shouldn't be using AI to write content in general, but that's whatever. Like,
good luck with that one. I agree with you, but good luck.
Yeah, you know what I mean, though. Like, it's a lost cause, maybe, or I don't know, but just like this fight against slop. You know, I noticed I was doing a Google image search, Kagi. K-A-G-I, you know, the search engine. I've been using that for years, and I was doing a Kagi image search, and I noticed that at the bottom of the results, because it was a very specific thing, there weren't that many images, and at the very bottom of the results, it had some AI images that it had found. It didn't generate them, it had discovered them, and it had a little splatter logo, which to me said slop. And the letters AI, like a little watermark in the corner, and it was demoting AI images, and I love that, and I think we should allow AI slop content but demote it. But that's a separate conversation. Well, I think that the responsibility for implementing AI in content should be at the operating system level. That's where it should live. And AI in Apple's products, Apple stuffed it up, right? But their intention there with like writing tools and stuff, it's a terrible implementation, but I think that's the future. And doubling up by adding stuff into WordPress where you're going to have to make external calls to external providers because AI doesn't run efficiently in the browser. It's just, it's not a great architecture.
So, Luke, we may actually have a point of additional contention that we can draw out in perhaps coming seasons, because I agree with you. I would argue that WordPress still has this unrealized potential as an operating system itself. Now, I know that you mean technically.
Not that again.
I know that you mean in this I guess, more tangible
you know
sense
what
if
I mean.
It's either
I
Mac
mean,
or Linux or Windows.
Browser. Yeah.
Right. But Luke, even as we're focusing, one of the highlights of this particular post was the reliance on the browser for more of the image and media handling, right? Because let's take away some of this. Like, this is one of the things that WordPress can do next, is take some of the heavy lifting off of the servers and into the browser, where more of this media manipulation can be done, right? So, and we also have things
good.
Like...
That's an architectural reshuffle that puts the burden of, like, resource management in the right place.
Sure.
Right? All of the heavy lifting can be done in the browser, save on server costs. It's not really any huge overheads for the computer these days, which it was when it was first implemented. So it's no big deal. It makes sense. And that's the same argument that I would apply then to AI. Let the computer itself do it, or let some external service do it, but don't try and be like a middleman in the browser where you're like going to go and connect and here and there. And in fact, just don't use AI tools at all for content generation. But I really think if you're going to use an external tool, you want to be using that everywhere that you're writing content, right? You want to use that in text edit. You want to use that in whatever, like wherever you're writing your content. And you want it to be the same tool and accessible from the same places. And so I don't see why you need to have like a ChatGPT or Claude integration built into WordPress. You want it built into Windows or Mac, and then let that content be edited natively. Like, and then it will just work in WordPress. And it will work consistently the same way that it does in other applications. And we don't have to invent a whole new interface and a whole new language around it.
This will be interesting to see how this carries out, because we're supposed to get Google Docs style collaborative editing in WordPress. One of the things that Mary also called out is we're going to shift our WordPress releases to align up with events. So 7.0 will come to WordCamp Asia, and presumably 7.1 at WordCamp Europe. And I'm guessing the next one at US? I don't know. But the event, the release is being corresponding to events. So you're supposed to get collaborative editing later this year. I think my position in this, Luke, has started from this. It's like there is just this massive ecosystem like around WordPress, right? Like you have all these parts and pieces. And when I think about people creating things on the web, so much of those pieces are within this space. I'm becoming a little bit optimistic as we talk through this. Like if we go back to talking about WordPress as an operating system 5 years ago, not a lot has really happened to, I think, strengthen that argument over the past 5 years, right? If I could like...
I mean, I don't think that argument ever was particularly strong to begin with. I still don't understand what you mean by that, to be honest. I've known you so long and you've talked about this so much and I still just don't get it.
Well, okay. Then, so part of this... This is probably just not the discussion for the moment, though. But I think that there's something there.
You can't and summarize over this... it in 45 seconds.
I saw the clock ticking down. And I was like, I don't know if I can in 45 seconds. But with all my thinking, I'm going to give it some fresh thought this year. And I think there's fresh material. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm entirely wrong about it. It just didn't make any sense. Matt gets the credit for the original idea, and I just sort of took it further in my own thinking.
Yeah, and that, but this, once upon a time, that lent you credence to the idea being something. But these days,
I think this year, though, is we're going to have an opportunity to test it. And I think that there is something there that you're still missing that could lead to some fruitful further discussions.